previously on Corporate Homie.
How to get yourself, you know, out of the slump, how to get yourself jazzed up and get going.
You can't worship the hustle.
You're working on the wrong things.
You actually might be in a New Year's slump because you actually hate your job.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
how participating in competitive team sports has translated into business success.
What are you actually trying to accomplish today?
Sports teaches you how to engage with people of different backgrounds.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Hey, homies.
What's up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Whoop, whoop.
Welcome back.
We are so excited to share this podcast topic, which is about something that is near and dear to our hearts, which is essentially how participating in competitive team sports has translated into business success. And just a reminder for the homies, Demetra and I have participated in team sports our entire lives, but I think that...
What's your earliest memory of being on a team for, you know, any sport?
I don't think we were that young. I don't think our first teams were like until like, honestly, maybe middle school.
I don't either.
Because we weren't kids that played in soccer leagues and we didn't play t-ball and things like that.
Because
back then they had us in karate and stuff like that.
Right.
And ballet, dance.
And ballet.
You know, the handbell choirs and the things we were doing at church. I'm thinking maybe, I feel like I wasn't on a team until middle school.
Right.
Were we on a team at Buffalo Ridge?
McCormick is my earliest memory.
I don't think Buffalo Ridge had teams.
Yeah. No, I feel like we were.
So fifth grade. Which is really...
Buffalo Ridge was Wyoming?
Yeah, Wyoming. Which is really late because most people start playing team sports at three or four, you know.
That's where it was then. I was thinking it was McCormick, but you're right. It was Buffalo Ridge. Were they red? McCormick was maroon. Red and white.
Red and white.
I think it was Buffalo Ridge.
Yeah, which just goes to show you we were just talented athletes because most people start playing team sports when they're three, four years old.
If we do say so ourselves.
Absolutely, right? if you're not going to believe in yourself, I mean, who's going to believe in you?
Who is?
But I will say, we're going to talk about this in the context of sports, but I believe it can be extended to any type of competitive team activity, whether that be concert choir, debate. Band, anything where you have to work as a team to compete. So it's not unique to sports. What's interesting is that the statistics say that 43% of people who participated in any type of team sports are better at their professional lives, regardless of if they were lousy athletes or not.
Really?
So it's not about were you a good athlete. It's about the lessons and the things and the attributes and the traits that you got from participating in team sports. So shout out to all the homies who were not great,
who rode the pine.
Your kids ride the pine. Keep them on the team.
Oh, I like that. Right. That's okay. They're still going to have transferable skills. There's still going to be lessons for them.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
Now, I know we're going to give our tips and whatnot, but I thought we could start by sharing like our favorite thing about participating in team sports. And for me, and I think it's one reason why I joined a sorority, I think it's why I'm always like putting together groups of women to do things together, is the most thing that I love most is the sense of like family and unit and camaraderie. Right. I always love like the bus time, like the stuff in the locker room, clowning with people, dancing, you know, getting ready to go to practice, you know, after practice.
Practice?
We talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice.
You talking about practice.
Drake.
Drake. You finally saw it. Okay. It's like that, right?
Yeah, but I loved all of the camaraderie. You know, like I said.
I did too.
Yeah,
especially you know in high school.
Yes.
in high school, all the sports we played, you know, we played three sports in high school, volleyball, basketball, and track. And all those teams were so fun at all the schools. And we went to three high schools. And you're right. I think it's why now when I have a business trip, you know, I'm going to be in L.A. I want to catch up with Bo Kurowski.
Correct.
You know, a lot of homies from dancing in a locker room.
To, yeah.
You know, on the street after a win.
Yeah.
Or, you know, waiting on the van to come get you.
Right.
Getting into an argument about music on the bus because no one can agree on whose music and all of that. So, yes, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that also sports teaches you how to engage with people of different backgrounds. And I never realized this as a skill, so I don't want to take credit for this until Michelle Obama talked about this with her older brother Craig and her book Becoming, and that Craig was comfortable talking to people that he didn't know because he had learned how to go get himself in a pickup game, you know. And I do think that particularly, especially being military kids, moving to a new school, being on the sports team almost gave you a way, not because those people didn't necessarily end up being your best friends, but it gave you a social entree into the school before you even really had to have that anxiety, because you knew you're going to go to class, you're going to see somebody from my team or your team that I was familiar with. And it just took a lot of anxiety off of all that transition. So
I would completely agree with that. Yeah. Especially, you know, like you said, when we would move somewhere new and we would have already been in practice. And so you're not worried about who you,
especially volleyball, because y'all would typically practice before school started.
Right. Because volleyball's in the fall. Right. And so then when school starts, you have teammates. So you're absolutely right.
Right. All right. Well, let's talk about those transferable skills. We think that sports and business interchange. And it's just, again, I can't tell you how many times I've been at a business conference and they bring in some retired, high performing professional athlete to inspire us. So this isn't a new phenomenon.
So my first tip was first thing that I learned was you do need to practice. You need a warm up routine. You need methods. And I have found that to be extremely, being methodical, I would say, is a skill that I learned from playing sports that is helpful. So for example, when you play sports, you need to, you know, have a warm up. You go in, every team has a routine. You get there, you know, everybody has to be there at a certain time. You have to have your uniform at a certain time. You go and you do this and all of that before you play the game. And I'm like that now. I have a method when I come into work in the morning. And I think more people would be more successful if they had a warm-up routine.
Correct.
If they had
a work,
like,
warm-up routine.
Warm-up routine. Right. If they're like, I get in, I get my coffee, I check my email, I write out my to-do list, and now I'm ready to start the day. I feel like most people don't have a play. They just get out and they just haphazardly
start running around.
Playing ball.
Pick up ball. Right.
They
just
don't
throwing
know
up
what,
shots.
Just throwing up shots. Right. And you're like, what are you actually trying to accomplish today? And I, you know, every morning I get in and I write out my to-do list and I write a fresh to-do list every single morning. That's my warm-up routine so that I understand what shots we're trying to keep with the analogy, what shots we're trying to take today, with the understanding that there will be, sticking with the analogy, someone's going to steal the ball, right? Which means I'm going to have interruptions and distractions and planning out my day.
You know, that is such an important thing, that the value of practice and being methodical. And I remember one of my first practices as a college athlete, I played point guard, just to remind everyone. And I got myself in the lane and kind of jumped up in the air, did not really have a plan for where I was going, didn't have a shot, end up turning the ball over. Coach blows the whistle and says to me, B, this is college. We shoot to score. We do not shoot to shoot. So we're not just throwing the ball up for the sake of throwing, just saying we got a shot off.
Because you've
lost
control.
Right.
Yeah,
so I love that. Right. My first point is very much in line with yours, which is the value of hard work. There is no athlete that thinks that they're going to be the best, amazing, without working hard. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the practice, but they know that they cannot win games or matches or whatever they're calling it without putting in the work. And so, unlike what we do a lot of times here in business is they're not ever going to a game and winging it. They're not ever like, oh, we're not going to practice all week. Serena Williams doesn't do that. Naomi Osaka doesn't do that. Tiger Woods doesn't do that. The Bulls don't do that. They don't say, hey, we're trying to win a championship. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to just put it into neutral. I might go out and hit a few balls. Right. And then I'm going to come out here.
Right. Like the Super Bowl is tomorrow. And the Patriots have not played in 2 weeks. And the Rams have not played in 2 weeks. But trust and believe, they have not been at home relaxing and visualizing a win.
And so it doesn't work that way in business either, right? So I'm always amazed when people don't want to have pre-calls and walk through what we're going to do in the meeting. These are the objections we think we may have. This is how we're going to overcome those objections. People are annoyed, right? They're always like, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years.
I don't need a pre-game.
You're like, okay, you would never hear Joe Montana say that, or whoever your favorite athlete is. They don't do that.
That is a great point. I never thought about that. I always want to pregame before a call, or like you said, and I've learned that if I'm working with people who have an aversion, I still have my agenda of what we need to discuss that I'm ticking off and checking off. Because like you said, you're not going to get on your call and accomplish everything you needed to accomplish and take care off of your memory.
Right. It doesn't work that way. So, and athletes understand that. They understand the value of hard work.
Okay. So my next point is not to be all corny, but it's just the truth. Teamwork makes the dream work.
No, teamwork is where it's at.
Right. Teamwork makes the dream work. You can, what is it? Together, we each accomplishes more.
I don't know. I've never heard that.
Yeah. Together. Yeah. Together, each accomplishes more. That's what team stands for. And maybe that's a volleyball phrase, but
I was going to say, they didn't teach that in basketball.
Yeah, but it's true. You will not, especially if you are working on very large projects, you cannot put out very high quality work alone.
No, you cannot.
You cannot. You're going to need your assistants, your support staff. You're going to need colleagues. You are rarely working on something that just you. And so you're going to have to figure out what role everyone's playing, how they can, what's the highest and best use based on their talents, make sure that everyone is doing what they're supposed to do in their role so that you can get out this fantastic product.
So I have teamwork is one of my points as well. And one of the things that I love that, you know, team sports teaches you that translates very nicely to business is that you know how to be an appropriate teammate and you know how to appreciate your teammates. Winning teams, championship teams, understand that everybody is not going to have a role on that team that gets their name in the paper. That some people are going to have roles that are critical that are never discussed. Right, they're going to be the person that puts together a perfect screen in a basketball game that gets the star player who scores a lot open so they have an open look. And no one's going to say, oh my God, Nancy set an amazing screen for Jennifer. And so Jennifer got a wide open look.
So then she opened up the shot. Right.
And so the same way it worked. There are going to be times where you're working on a project where you're not the person shooting the ball. You're not the person scoring the touchdown. You're the lineman. You're blocking. You're the person on the bench making, or you're the person who comes in for 1 minute to give somebody relief so they come back out. And it ebbs and flows in our careers. And team sports teaches you that you're going to have different roles at different times on the team. And winning teams know how to play their role and do their job to the best of their ability. My next point is team sports. Athletes understand competition. And one of my favorite phrases is how we keep score in business is through revenue. But athletes understand that basically every day is a win or loss on every single play. And it's really the same way in our jobs. We're all out here competing for clients to maintain clients, bring new clients in, increase the share of wallet that we have. If we only do this sleeve of work for them, we want to do more of that work for that company. It means every single day when we're working on that client, how we respond to them, how timely we are, how we phrase it, did we add value? That's basically being competitive on a daily basis. And athletes wake up every day with DNA in their, it's in their DNA to compete. You know, I joked that, like, you really don't want to do anything competitive with me because I don't know how to say, you know what, I really don't care if I win or lose. Because in the words of my Aunt Twyla, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose. It matters whether I win. See, y'all thought we were going to say it matters how you play the game. No, it doesn't. It matters whether I win or lose. And athletes are competitive.
That's funny. So I had basically the same point, but I called it everyone keeps score. Everyone keeps score. And this idea of, and I do think that that's one of the things that I was going to say, this idea of everyone gets a trophy and scores don't matter is misleading people. It's absolute foolishness.
Foolishness.
Right. Don't be fooled. They're keeping score at your job.
Yeah,
they're keeping score
is.
Every day. And whether that be, like you said, a law firm and that's billable hours and revenue, you know, if that people are keeping score, it's how, like you said, how responsive you are. If your emails have typos, all of that is scorekeeping. It's all scorekeeping.
I can't stress this one enough. It sucks.
So, yeah. So my next point is one of the things that you learn at playing team sport that absolutely helps you be successful in business is your latest stats are the only ones that matter. And it's horrible and it doesn't feel good. But it's the truth. So everyone has the stats that they're looking at. And they're looking at what you did for them in the last 12 months, usually in a business setting. They're not looking for anything else. And so the fact that you were fantastic 3 years ago doesn't matter to them. Even if you made them a gazillion dollars in, they just don't care.
You know,
they're literally like, what have you done for me lately?
You know, it's so interesting that you have this. This is such an important point for the homies to really take in. I remember we had a commercial real estate lender that had put up like $100 million like 2 years ago. And then like the last year before she left, she didn't put up those types of numbers. And when she left, I remember thinking and sharing with my boss, who was the regional president at the time, like, man, we got to really be disappointed that she's leaving. He was like, not really. I was like, she's a $100 million lender. He was like, 2 years ago. And I was like, whoa.
Right, like whoa. Day before yesterday.
Right, I was like, wow. The other thing is,
day before yesterday.
The other thing is, I remember I was having an opportunity to look at going to other markets, you know, a larger market than I was managing at the time. And I remember talking to my sponsor at the bank. And I said, well, I don't want to get assigned to a large market. I want to grow this market into a large market. And he said, no, you don't. Because he had played college basketball. He said, this is like the NCAA tournament. When you have an amazing tournament, you got to go to the league. You don't say you want to play for 3 more years. You could get hurt. You something could happen and you could not put up the numbers that you've been putting up. When you get the call to go to the league, you go to the league. And I thought that was fantastic point.
Period.
My next point, and I cannot stress this enough because I feel like so many people bring their emotions to work and then we're all ebbing and flowing off of their moodiness, right? Athletes don't do that. They are accustomed to failure, adversity, and most importantly, success. So nothing drives me more crazy, or crazier, should I say, than when I'm watching a football game and the team is down by 3 touchdowns and somebody makes a big play, right? A wide receiver makes a big play. They haven't scored, but maybe he catches the ball for 50 yards or a lineman, you know, smacks down the quarterback and gets a sack and they start celebrating like they are just killing the game. And I think, look at the score. You're down by 3 touchdowns. Nobody cares about...
Right, you're still down!
Nobody cares about these individual accomplishments. So it is the same thing at work, right? Like, yes, you close a big deal. That is fantastic. But if your team, your region, your department is in last place, it's not going to be seen in the same way. And so you've got to be accustomed to not getting too high and not getting too low. And I believe that being a competitive, playing team sports teaches you that.
I think that is a great point. Yeah, that you have to keep the main thing, and remember why we're here. We're not here for you to win. You know, if you're in a sales role and you're the district manager, you're not here for you to get a bonus. You're here for the district to meet its goals.
Correct.
And when the district doesn't meet its goals, you're off task. And I really, you know, love when people remember that. It's also why you can't be a good leader. If you lead a team and no one on your team hits their goals, like you're not like a sales role, but every role, not even just the sales.
Sales leader, yeah, man, sales manager.
But not just sales, it just happens at whatever. Law firms. Yeah. It happens at, like, if you run a group at a law firm and you're over the IP group and no one makes their billable, yeah, that's right, and no one makes their numbers, right? No one in the group is what the firm would deem profitable, but you're a terrible leader.
That's correct.
It can't, because you're not leading. Like, the fact that you got a bonus and you generated a bunch of revenue, but no one that you're leading did, is problematic. And that's one thing that I do love about, you know, playing sports, because you can be, you know, all American or all conference and all of that, and be sitting at home when the conference championship is played.
And for years, that happened to Michael Jordan. It wasn't until he started using his teammates that they started winning championships. I remember watching those games in the early 80s where he would score 63 points against the Celtics in the playoffs and they would lose. And I remember thinking, like, well, that was entertaining, but the point of this is for the Bulls to win and to advance, not for him to score 63 points.
And if you remember when he stopped doing
that. I said when he stopped doing that, that's when they started winning. That's when they started winning. My last point, which is a point I make often on the podcast, because I believe so wholeheartedly in it. Team sports teaches you to be coachable. You realize that you always have something that you could work on, that you can get better at. I think as we get older, we're even more aware at work. Okay, I'm a big picture person, so I need to team up with someone that's detail-oriented. Or I'm detail-oriented, and I need to team up with somebody that's visionary. I was talking with one of my original homie mentees, and we were talking about our an organization that we are familiar with that's laying a lot of people off. And he was saying, he was talking to one of my old counterparts, and he was saying, like, oh, all these people getting demoted to corporate banker from market president, like, that's so messed up. And I said, no, he's missing the big picture. Somebody found them roles because they're laying people off. That was just the first wave. So him still sitting out there as a market president is not necessarily a good deal, because those jobs are going away. And then my mentee said, dang, when I was talking to him, I didn't think about it that way, but you're right. I'm like, no, somebody found them lifelines.
Right, because they could have gotten the package. They had to go. Right, and people forget that. And I do think that sports teaches that. It teaches you to be able to look away from the ball. Like, even the way people watch a game.
Yes.
People tend to only watch the ball, right? So as you're playing volleyball, you're watching a basketball game, soccer, they only concentrate on where the ball is. But a lot of time, the real action and where you know is about to happen is away from the ball. And that's where the play is being run. And so the same thing. So it looks like where the ball is the demotion. But if you look away from the ball, it's the fact that they're not being fired. So you got to be able to look. And I do think that sports teaches you that. Just be able to stop just always looking at the ball. Look at the whole field, the whole court. My last point is that sport, and this is the biggest thing, and I'm always very grateful. And I've said this probably in many interviews and things when people ask me, sports taught me to be able to take criticism.
Yes.
When you play sports, people criticize you all the time. And I can't tell you, especially as a young woman and as a young diverse woman, how people think you can't take criticism. And so what they end up doing is lying to you
or giving you no criticism, which is worse.
Or just leaving you
no
out
feedback.
Of or just leaving you out of conversations. Period. Right? So I literally had this happen one time on a deal. It was something benign, like we submitted a budget, and they thought the budget was too high. And instead of calling me and saying, like, they called, like, another partner. First of all, he thought that the other partner was my boss, because he didn't understand that I'm an equity partner. I don't have a boss, right? But I just thought, no, you. He's like, well, I just didn't want to put you in an awkward position. Because I was like, why didn't you just call me?
Right.
And it was like, well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. And I thought, hurt my feelings? Where does this work? Like, you can't hurt my feelings, but that comes from sports. That comes from playing sports. Like, tell me what's wrong with the play. Tell me what's wrong with this. And then we can talk about whether what you desire can be fixed or if like you're really asking me to shoot with my left hand and I really just am not very good with my left hand and we really should not have me shooting with my left hand yet, we could work on that. But I just think being able to take criticism, have difficult conversations, came from playing sports.
That's so critical. And every time I get a new boss, a new leader, I always remind them, because I know that they will do that now that I'm older in my career, I will remind them, hey, I'm a good old-fashioned athlete. Please provide feedback. Your constructive feedback is welcomed. Because what I do understand, like Demetra said, when they're not giving you feedback, it's worse to not get any feedback. So you want to communicate, not only are you open to it, but that you welcome it and that they're not going to hurt your feelings. Because if you don't get feedback in your career, it's very difficult to make adjustments to whatever you may be doing that can help you get better.
To be better.
And it's almost like a parent. You know, when you're growing up, you don't know that the people whose parents let them do everything is not the kind of parent you want. You want the parent that's pushing you and guiding you and disciplining you. So, well, we hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode. I know we have lots of homies who also have good tips. So please, you know, drop us a line, leave us a comment when you finish listening to the episode and let us know what things have you learned from your competitive team activities that we may have not mentioned on this episode.
Yeah, please do share. And of course, if you are interested in having us come to your organization, we've been really excited. We've heard from so many homies already in 2019 and our calendar is filling up very nicely. But if you'd like us to come out and speak at your organization, you can send us an email at info@corporatehomie.com. If you have a topic that you want covered or just have a question you want us to address on an episode or something like that, send us an email at questions@corporatehomie.com.
And as always, you can find us on all social media platforms. We're under the same name, Corporate Homie, HOMIE. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies. All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.